You're tuned in to TPE Network, fun yet informative podcasts.
Hello and welcome to TV and Movie Reviews Podcast. I'm Hank.
And I'm Mel.
And we'll be covering Suicide Squad 2. Okay. Well, as we often do, we like to start out with settings and go through some characters, then some wins, then some problems, then ratings. Settings-wise, this was a pretty simplistic movie, in my opinion. You know, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited towards the locales or anything like that, but it just seemed pretty basic, standard. Nothing really stood out at all. Me and you could put together that beach scene with about 100 extras and get that going.
Correct.
And then the location for the final battle, underwhelming for me. What about you, though?
I didn't have a problem with the location. I thought, I wanted a little more. You know, there's always more you expect to happen or what have you. But as far as locations, I didn't have a problem with anything.
Okay. All right, let's move on to some characters, is where we usually spend the bulk of our conversation anyway. They're going to go in no specific order. We'll try to breeze through some of these. Savant, played by Michael Rooker. I really wanted to like the character because I like Michael Rooker.
Of course.
He's been on some acquaintances of mine's podcasts, and he takes the time out to do that kind of stuff like that. So I like to give him the benefit of the doubt and stuff, but the character was essentially useless and unnecessary.
So basically, he was the sacrificial lamb, except there was more than one. And it was a good way to show you that anybody could die. But we already got that from a bunch of other characters. But the way the movie was set up, you were supposed to think, okay, here's this guy. He's he takes no crap. He's BA, and then you're like, clearly he's going to survive to the end. Just to be able to show the story, stay with him beginning in a movie, and then you go, oh, wait, no, not so much. And so they thought they were being clever. It's just one of those things. It reminds me of there was this horror movie called The Feast, and 3 minutes in, this guy shows up, and he calls him the hero, and he's telling people what to do and how to survive the monsters, and then 5 minutes in, he gets killed. And it's like, oh, hey, see? We're tricking you. And it's just like, oh, not so much.
Right. And when he killed the little bird, it kind of ticked me off. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it was unnecessary, you know. But anybody in that situation might do some things that are not necessary, obviously.
Honestly, I killed a bird just setting up this, setting up my laptop today. I mean, I do it all the time. I didn't know that was frowned upon.
You wipe the little blood off on your jeans and just keep going. You're like,
this shirt is actually white. I just, it's a bunch of blood, bird blood all over the place. So.
I was like, shame on you, Michael Rooker. I'm going to tweet at him today too. Shame on you. Viola Davis, no relation, thank goodness, playing Amanda Waller. Man, she is ruthless, like over the top ruthless. But
so I noticed they might have done some flanderization from last movie. Last movie, she was kind of, large and in charge, so to speak, and, the chess master, killed her own team. And I think they went more towards the killed her own team aspect and thought that was the only aspect to keep of her personality from the first movie. You know, she's not just some ruthless killer, like she's a mission comes first kind of person. But I think they kind of skewed off a certain way with it. But Amanda Waller is more than just a killer who doesn't care about people. Like, she wants to get the mission done. It just made it look weird, like she didn't care about anybody. And I don't know. I didn't kind of like some of her characterization in this movie.
Yeah, I agree. All right, moving down the list, let's talk about Rick Flagg. I liked him much better in this movie than I did in the first one. However, his decision about the drive at the end kind of didn't really fit to me because he's also like an order taker, isn't he?
Yes. So I think they wanted you to like him more because they were going to kill him off. So they had to make him tell more jokes, notice more things. And so I think that's where they went with that. Like, all of a sudden, him and Harley are friends. The Rick Flagg in the first movie would have never called Harley his friend. I mean, he might have drank with them or whatever, but he wouldn't have done that. So it's, they wanted to just make him a likable character, and that's the best way they could do it.
Okay. They're like, we've got something for you. Here you go.
Exactly.
TDK, Nathan Fillion. Oh my gosh. I loved that scene. That was funny as all get out.
There was not enough of him, easily. He should have been in flashbacks. There should have been people remembering him. He was not in the movie enough.
Oh, man, it was so funny. Like, what does your name mean? It's letters. I was like,
obviously, like, come on.
And then Captain Boomerang, I was kind of shocked that they did him in, but it was, you know, interesting, I guess. I guess that they were trying to shake things up, like you said.
And did you notice that he's the only person that didn't get killed because of his own incompetence?
Didn't think about that.
They wanted to say, okay, you know, we're not going to, by killing him off, we're going to do a disservice by leaving him, but we're still going to, like, you guys who like his character, you're going to have this way for him to go out on it. He didn't get killed because of himself. Like Nathan Fillion, like TDK, for example, he didn't hide behind cover. Like, fine, send your arms off. Just take cover.
I was like, this is going to be great. And then all he did was start smacking him in the head and stuff. I was like, oh.
Like, I mean, think about it. His arms are just projectiles, right, which is a gun. So when you have a gun, you don't just, like, if you can hide behind a rock while you shoot somebody, you're going to do that. You're not just going to say, hey, let me be out in the open. Like, he shouldn't have died at all.
Javelin, I thought that was one of the ones that was at least kind of funny. As far as when Harlequin was like, what am I carrying this for? No, tell me, what am I carrying this for? I was like, that's actually kind of funny.
And she gently touched his face and it just starts slapping it repeatedly.
Come back. Tell me what this is about. Mongol, that was kind of dumb. I mean, all the opening sequence was kind of dumb, but that was especially dumb.
Not much to say about that character. Like, I mean, I didn't even... It was so pointless. Usually I do research on characters I don't know about. I mean, with just the name, I'm going to assume she's related to Mongol or somebody from Apocalypse or a new god or something. But regardless, I was just like, who cares?
Yeah, right. Then Blackguard, we're up to your favorite here, Blackguard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So character development aside, we don't need to know who he is. Just he's a jerk. But I mean, if he's trying to look after, save his own butt, like, why walk out in the open? Why not just go, hey, who's the so-and-so person I talked to? Like, he had to have, let's say he sold them out. He had to sell them out to somebody.
Right.
Like, hey, who's, can I talk to so-and-so? Can I talk to, you know, Colonel whatever, Colonel Marquez? And then that guy talks to him. You don't just go out in the open, because even if I sold somebody out, I wouldn't assume the soldiers in front know what's going on.
Right. Or you just hang back until things progress, and then you're like, okay, I delivered them like I told you I would.
Yeah, not from the start. Yeah.
Hey, it's me. I'm the guy that turned them in.
And then even then, just like you just betrayed people, you could get betrayed.
Yeah.
So you should always have that in mind too.
No, like, certainly.
I would never go out the open for a battlefield ever until either nobody's standing or like I have some assurances.
And then Weasel, Sean Gunn, he also played Calendar Man in the prison.
Yes.
The Weasel character, I just was like, it was pointless. In my problems, I'll get to more about that. But it just was pointless, kind of a pointless character to me, other than what they do at the end.
Yeah, it was a throwaway character, and we had quite a few already. I didn't get it.
Harley Quinn, that was far and away for me the most spot on character in the movie, Harley Quinn doing Harley Quinn stuff.
Yeah, we'll get to her. Let's touch back on problems.
Peacemaker and Bloodsport. We'll talk about them and then we'll maybe dabble through a couple others. But John Cena's Peacemaker, I thought it was just a little too over the top. Like the characters crank to 14 and the scale only goes to 10.
This is where we differ, my friend.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if it's the former Marine thing. And also, so I see these guys. I saw those guys and know these guys. And probably somebody thought I was this guy. But yeah, he was easily my favorite thing about the movie.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah, we differ. I thought he was pretty funny, but seeing John Cena, I used to be a wrestling fan back in the day. And so seeing him play a character like this was like totally contrary to all the stuff he's done in wrestling.
I mean, honestly, I couldn't see him because of his catchphrase, but I mean, I just heard him.
Not bad. Not bad.
Oh, yeah, I try.
He had a toilet bowl on his head.
I just saw the toilet bowl, honestly. I didn't see him.
Can't see me. Bloodsport by Idris Elba. I liked the character. It was too similar to Will Smith's character.
I think they tried their best to distinguish that after the daughter thing, that he's a little different. Like, I mean, he would zig versus zag what Will Smith would do. And he was more of a reluctant hero, where Will Smith's character, I feel that Will Smith would be in your face about, I'm going to save you. He wouldn't say, he wouldn't say, I'm no leader, I'm not going to save you, blah, blah, blah. So I think while they had the same kind of actions, they would have went about it different ways, or the attitudes about them would be different.
Okay.
But yeah, I've seen the comments about it was basically the same person, but I think they handled it, their attitudes about their actions would have been different. But yeah, at the end of the day, the same stuff would have happened.
Okay. Fair enough. Polka Dot Man, I thought that was a terrible throwaway character. I just didn't like it. Like, he don't like his mom. That's a strike for me. And then the polka dots, the way they come out was just, it was like, I don't know, man. It could be an age thing because I'm older. So it could be, this felt like it was written for millennials or younger.
I think then you didn't take the severity of his, the virus. It was a deadly virus that could have killed him. I think that was just all humor there. You were supposed to just kind of think it was funny, the black comedy of it. Okay. But I definitely understand that one. I was just, but I like that they didn't have him there too much. Like, he wasn't, they didn't do too much of him.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you know, he's already spread so thin. You know, he's an Ant-Man. He's in Dark Knight. He's in Flash. So we see enough of this guy already.
Now, King Shark, voiced by Sylvester Stallone. I really didn't like this representation of King Shark. He was trying so hard to make him like a Guardians of the Galaxy type shtick, in my opinion.
They wanted him to be Groot, but Groot isn't dumb.
Exactly.
He just says the same stuff, but he isn't dumb. And also, I got ruined on it because there's a Harley TV series right now on HBO Max. It just went into its second season. It's awesome. And King Shark is voiced by, I don't know if you know Ron Funches, but he's a comedian. And in there, he's funny, he's smart, he's a hacker. And and so it's just, I mean, he still eats people, he's still a bad guy, but he's just got a great sense of humor. He's a completely different take on King Shark.
Interesting.
And so this one, you know, just, he's got like a 5-word vocabulary, he's dumb. And, you know, he got punched in the head too many times, like other Sylvester Stallone characters. And and it's just, yeah, I didn't like this take on him at all.
And then Thinker, I absolutely couldn't stand this take on Thinker. I just thought that was pitiful, to say the least.
Well, I mean, he had one line that I thought was really funny. Is it safe to say on this channel?
But no.
Other than that, number one, didn't he have powers? Because he didn't use them.
He didn't use them in this.
Yeah, I think, number one, if you have any powers in any medium, you have to use them at least once. That's just kind of the way it works, or else why aren't you just a regular human?
Right.
Like, don't have somebody with powers and have them never use it, or it's just a waste of a character. So I thought he was a waste. It could have easily been anybody, put any human in that place, and you would have had no difference at all. Especially as a Flash fan, I know the thinker to be like smart and ways ahead. He thinks all these things out. And a completely different guy. Like, name one time he actually thought and he used his intelligence to get ahead. Like,
he never did.
Yes. I mean, he literally could have been Joe Smo and it would have been no difference.
All right. Any other characters you want to talk about, or can we move on to some wins?
There's the two side characters, the warden and Steve Agee plays him, who's going to be in the Peacemaker series. But I think they were the most vocal, and that's just to show the connection. I mean, they were kind of the proponents against Amanda Waller near the end, and they didn't really serve any purpose except to say, hey, they're from the movie once you see them in the show, I think. So we don't know anything about their characters at all so far, except Steve Agee's character, the warden, didn't like the fact that Bloodsport's daughter was threatened. So, I mean, there's some character morality there, but once Peacemaker starts, we'll see what their real characters are.
Okay.
So this was kind of just a teaser to the characters, so to speak.
All right, let's get into some wins. I absolutely thought the javelin scene and it being playing a like MacGuffin of sorts for Harley Quinn was friggin' awesome. I absolutely liked that one.
If you think about it, it was like the note in Saving Private Ryan, when the person died and they took the note, and then somebody else died and they took the note from him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I forgot who wrote the note originally, but at the end, Edward Burns' character, somebody wrote a note to their wife or family member, and each time somebody died, that person carried the note. So it was one of those Dear John. It was one of, I got to come back to you on that one. But it reminded me of like a dead person's note being traveled along, being carried along.
Okay. I also thought Margot Robbie, her portrayal of Harley Quinn was really good for me. I absolutely loved the art choice to do like the flowers and stuff as she's just mopping the floor with baddies. I really thought that was well done because it makes sense for her insane character to have like flowers and stuff.
This is where we differ. So I want to ask you a question as a veteran. What is the odds in real life of a deranged ex-gymnast, ex-PhD, former doctors, former therapists, being able with a javelin at first and then with an M16, but it would take out a whole platoon of fully trained soldiers without getting shot at all?
That's zero. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I get it was supposed to be funny, but it was a little too realistic because honestly, there's some soldiers that would have taken cover. Nobody takes cover in this movie. There would have been some soldier from far, far back that would have just started shooting. And for her to just be able to walk up in a straight hallway and not catch any shots, I said, okay, you know, they really want to give her some character. They want to really, like, give her a movie. And apparently they forgot that there was this thing called Birds of Prey. And so they just wanted to kind of focus on her for a very long time, even though it's called The Suicide Squad. So they focus on the squad over here and just her over there. You know, it really wasn't her movie. It wasn't supposed to be her movie. So I thought that scene was gratuitous. I loved it. I mean, in theory, she did more in that red dress than Black Widow did in the whole MCU continuity.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. So honestly, you know, she did a lot. It's just, I think she did too much.
Okay. I loved Bloodsport, all his gadgets and stuff, how they came together. You know, like the guns, and he'd put another part on and all that stuff. I thought that was really well done.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. We didn't get enough of that in my mind.
I liked Peacemaker at first, just like how hardcore he was trying to be. And then it kind of fell apart towards the end for me, but I did appreciate that they made him kind of over the top hardcore at first and then kind of unraveled for me.
And it's, you know, you're never supposed to use Wikipedia as a source. But, you know, when you look him up, he's actually listed as a hero, as a superhero in Wikipedia, not a supervillain. So, I mean, I'm not familiar with the character completely, but I think that some of his choices might have been different than in the comics. I mean, we'll see once the show comes out. Maybe he'll be different. Maybe this is going to be a prequel instead of a sequel series. So maybe they'll flesh some of this out, because there was a lot of conflicting messages with his character.
Most certainly. I loved at the end when the woman hit Amanda Waller with the golf club. I thought that was perfect.
I agree. Yeah, there's the fact that everybody picked that point. These are the same people who bet on the deaths of everybody at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
But all of a sudden, hey, now we have a moral compass here.
Now we'll get her.
Better late than never.
Yeah. Yes. So that was pretty decent. Any wins for you? Any other ones?
You know, I liked the, unlike the original movie, I like that they took the time. I guess they did drink together in the original movie. I like the club scene, just because, you know, it showed them getting along. It showed them hanging out. This is what, it showed them being buddies, so to speak. This was an aspect that the original movie didn't have. And at the end of the day, yeah, they're villains, but they're still people. And, you know, like at one point, you know, Rick Flag and Bloodsport, they're like pounding the wild round and they're just drinking and then everybody's dancing. I just like that. I thought that added to the gravitas of them being a team differently than the first movie.
Most certainly. Any other wins?
I like that, you know, the bad guy was immediately killed. I thought that was, the first dictator was killed by Margot Robbie. We didn't dwell on that so much. And it was just kind of like, he's talking about what he's going to do. And then it's just like a bam, which I saw coming. They kind of telegraphed it. But at the end of the day, I still like that part too.
Okay. We'll switch to some problems. I had a problem that Ratcatcher's power isn't even a power. If I got a hold of that wand thing, correct, wouldn't I be able to do it?
Yeah, I have a power to make food show up at my doorstep in 30 minutes. I just hold up a phone. So call me delivery guy number two.
Yeah, I can take pictures. Yeah, I'd be picture guy.
Yeah.
picture guy.
I can play any song on the internet.
Music man. Yeah, new character. They'd run with it too. DC would. Warner
DC
Brothers.
DC would need to.
They would. I thought that was weird. King Shark was an absolute miss for me. And like, what does kill him? Nothing?
Yeah. Mr. Indestructible. Yeah. I didn't know he was a juggernaut, but
I was just like, okay. I hated how the weasel thing worked. Like when you drown, you just drowned. You don't cough up water later on. And then you got nitpicky with the her, you know, killing an entire platoon of trained soldiers. And I'll get nitpicky with the three of them in the back of that Humvee or whatever. And they're talking about the Daymok, the death touch. Well, I studied under a grandmaster of Kung Fu. And as far as I know, you don't deliver the death touch with a headbutt. Like it's designed to go right in here, right in your chest. And
I mean, for me, I only know the 5-point touch, but that's just because it was stolen from me in Kill Bill 2.
But if I get nitpicky about some of the fight stuff, you know, I know it's a comic book movie. That's everyone's retort is going to be comic book movie, but at least make it entertaining, like Harley Quinn, you know, having kill him with a cigarette. You know, shove a cigarette up his nostril.
Also, none of those shots were really. I get nitpicky with the gun and soldier scenes, apparently. And none of those shots were headshots. So, in theory, the people, as she's just walking a straight line, any of those people lingering could just go in the back.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's like it wasn't like complete deaths. I mean, maybe they didn't want to show it, but unless. But as you're suffering and you're on the ground, you still have reflexes. And I guarantee you, if somebody has enough energy to shoot me, I'm going to use every dying breath if I have a gun to shoot them. Like, as I'm on the ground, I'm just going to pull the gun over. But
oh, my goodness. Yes. There's a lot of problems with this movie. I hate to be that person.
Did you find more problems in this movie or the first one?
Oh, gosh. Yikes. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't have watched this movie if you didn't want to review it. it could be, like I said, it could be an age thing, could be, you know, I've just changed in life or thing, but like the crude humor misses, it's a miss for me. It just, it's not for me anymore. That crude humor. I'm just, unless I have to review it, I can miss those kind of movies and stuff. And I just got the sense that whoever wrote it was writing it for a demographic I'm not a part of. And I'm talking age people.
Yeah, yes, yes. Well, I like this one more than the first one. Mm-hmm. I thought there was a lot of misses. There was a lot of military. There was a lot of planning that didn't work well. There was a lot of just the first one was just a bundle of mess. And I mean, this one structurally, it made more sense to me. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, the humor is, you know, I have to kind of disconnect some things here and there. Disconnect some logic, which is hard for us. But, I'd watch this before the first one anytime. Okay. You know, I am going to have these people fall in love to make sure I can control this person, who in theory could be a terrible person for the whole planet. Or, hey, what if Superman went bad? These people are going to take care of him. Well, have any of these people ever done anything to Superman before? Can any of these people put up a fight? No, there's a lot of problems in part one. At least in part two, like, you got a shark guy, you got a person who actually put Superman in the hospital. So, second one, it had more, it made more sense to me. But yeah, you have to take it with a grain of salt.
Most certainly. They sent Bloodsport on the hero's journey. They sent like multiple people on the hero's journey. In my opinion, it's kind of hard to pull that off.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, they're villains for a reason. And, you know, not to be that guy, but didn't Harley Quinn kill Robin? Are we just going to forget that?
We forgot that.
You guys like Margot Robbie. That's nice. But let's not make her a complete hero. Like, I mean, let's not think she's good.
Well, ready to dole out some ratings?
Sure, go ahead.
I did not care for this movie. I thought it had some, you know, some good parts, some good elements, some characters I might follow if they were off on their own. Peacemaker, probably not one of them, to be honest. You know what I mean? They're going to spin him off. And I'm like, oh, for what? Like him coming back after that, getting shot and losing. How much blood did he lose on the scene? Like, you get shot in the neck, you're done. But that's just my opinion. I am going to give it a 5 out of 10.
Oh, I definitely have to do 7.5 or 8.
Wow. Okay.
For what it was, like, I turned a lot off. And I mean, it's not as ridiculous as a Fast and Furious movie to me. There's a world where you said there's aliens and magic. So you didn't say, hey, we're going to. So if somebody drove cars between buildings, I'd believe it in this world. But, you know, so it's not a ridiculous thing, so to speak. So,
but a starfish is pretty legit.
An alien starfish. You got an alien guy who can die and come back to life just because there's a thing called a mother box. You have a suspension of disbelief here and there. So,
all right. So you're saying 7.5 or 8?
Let's do 7.5.
Okay, fair enough. Well, what did you out there think about Suicide Squad 2? Are you going to send me some hate mail? Feedback at tpenetwork.com. I can take it. I have thick skin. Just was a miss for me, but Mel liked it a little better. So you kind of got two takes in one. For Mel, I'm Hank. Until the next time, we're signing off.
See you later.
If you're enjoying the show, subscribe to the podcast by heading to tpenetwork.com/subscribe. TPE Network. There ain't nothing else like it.